This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Brandon Wright from the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, who authored a policy brief. Are education programs for high achievers inherently inequitable? Brandon, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you.
So we had a lot of folks talking about this pursuit of equity, as you pointed out in this policy brief, and they right away assume that they are inequitable, but you say otherwise.
Yeah, the issue here, right, is that too many of them have been in the past, and too many of them continue to be. But there are ways to do this that are equitable, and we see this in certain places. Research shows that doing so is possible. So the solution to the problem where this is being done poorly is not to eliminate these programs because they're important for the kids that participate in them. The solution is to do them better and implement them in a better way. So the brief sort of explains all that, explains how to do that. So that's what we say should happen.
So, I mean, a lot of folks want to believe that there's a one size fits all as an educational solution, but that's not necessarily true, right? I mean, you're not reaching everyone in their place. They're obviously, I mean, I experienced it, you experienced. There were kids smarter than me, more advanced than me, read more than me, put more work in than me, and, you know, as it relates to grades and otherwise, achieved more than me.
Right, yeah. The brief goes into this. There's studies that show that in sort of an average classroom, there are kids that are sort of seven grade levels apart. It's a huge gap. And the alternative to sort of these advanced education programs is to put all kids in the same grade in the same class and then ask a teacher to teach to that huge spectrum of achievement. We call this differentiated instruction. And, you know, perhaps our best teachers in our best schools, right, can do this, but to ask every teacher in every state to do this is frankly impossible, right? And the brief goes into this, and it shows that this doesn't work, that asking teachers to do this at scale doesn't work. It's extremely hard. And so if that sort of alternative can't work, the only other way to do this is to, you know, take kids who are achieving at a, you know, high clip and put them in a separate program in some way. And, right, so that's why these are important. There's no way to sort of give every kid the education they deserve that gives them the best chance to succeed in life to the level that they can without having these programs.
So you're saying that there are steps that you take to put what has historically been viewed as marginalized students in a better position to be able to participate in these accelerated classes. But this is something that you got to be mindful of, and you actually have to have programs in place to accomplish same, right?
Yeah. So there's sort of two big ways to do this. One is to universally screen everybody, right? So you take, you know, some test that all these kids already take, and then you use that and, you know, say grades to find, right, a subset of kids who are achieving sort of, you know, at the top, right? That could be 10%, it could be 15, it could be 20, right? And then you take them and you offer them a placement in some sort of, you know, advanced education program. And that could be, right, for, you know, each subject could, you know, offer something separate. But you screen everyone, and that's not happening currently in a lot of the ways. The way that this is designed in too many places is parents have to opt into these tests, or teachers have to right. recommend kids for these tests. And when you find, when you do that, right, you find that sort of the more affluent parents, or right, the sort of more traditionally sort of high achieving kids, you find that you end up having a bias in terms of who you screen for this. And then the other way is to design these programs so that you're serving the high achieving kids in sort of each school, as opposed to setting sort of a cutoff for who qualifies at a district or a state level. And when you do that, right, you have schools that are, you know, sort of low income. You have schools that are more affluent. And if you sort of set a district-wide standard, what you're doing is you're sort of unnecessarily disqualifying kids that, you know, grow up in a home with barriers that their more affluent peers don't. And what you find then is, in the end, you have this sort of imbalance, this problem that we're trying to solve. So sort of those two pretty simple changes lead to much more equitable progress.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Programs.
Yeah, and I mean, there are a lot of kids that, probably test near, right? That's whatever that standard is, early onset. And if you, as you point out, identify those and know that maybe they're part of a representative group, that their parents are working in occupations where they're not very nimble, they don't have the time to advocate on behalf of their child. But if you recognize that up on the front end, and you kind of apply a smoothing coefficient, to help those along, they're going to benefit in a huge way from this program. And it's amazing to me that people deny that very fact.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it comes from a good place, right? You know, people see, right, that these programs are dominated, right, by affluent kids and white kids and that, right, in a school district, say, that's, 50% black, right, you only have, 10% of these programs filled by, black students. You see this and you're like, wow, this program is flawed. Let's, scrap it. And again, that's just mimetic fix. You aren't actually improving the education of the kids who aren't being included in them. And instead, you're placing them or keeping them in classes that aren't giving them the education that they could get if instead you fix these programs include a lot more of these kids in them. So that's a better approach. But it's politically harder. It costs more. It's harder on the right school to get these things in place and to make parents accept them. Right. So the sort of hard path is the right path. Too often you see places taking the easy, incorrect path.
Yeah, it's interesting that a lot of the policies that otherwise well-intentioned people have put into place actually increase and advance inequities. And a lot of times, I don't know if you see this, but you find that folks are staring the obvious in the face and walking right around it.
Hello?
Your
Sorry,
thoughts?
I lost
I mean,
you.
Is that... I said, what you see is, folks are advancing policies that are actually increasing inequities. And oftentimes, as I said, they're staring the obvious in the face and walking right around it. It's kind of mystifying.
Yeah, yeah. And I think why this tends to happen, right, that, people, trying to scrap these, from a good place is they ignore the fact that, affluent kids, right, who tend to be in these programs if they aren't done in a good way, they have a lot of advantages outside of school too, right? So if you aren't providing these kids these services in school, their parents, can get them help outside of it, right? They have, extra time, extra money. So it's really the less advantaged kids who need these programs the most. So if you are taking these away from everybody, you're taking it away from them too. And right, so they sort of have one of the few avenues to sort of, get ahead, taken away from them. And then they're sort of more affluent, advantaged peers. They still have all the other things that they do to, get ahead, I guess, right? So again, it's coming from a good place. But the result, right, is sort of ironically the opposite of the reason for doing these things.
Yeah, because it's easier to punish those high achievers, right? Because in the overall scheme of things, they're a small minority.
Yep.
Numerically, yep. Right? So, and we just get rid. So that, about 5 or 6 years ago, we were hearing about a lot of this at local school boards. A lot of it in Virginia. It became an issue during the 2020 election. I said earlier as an intro to this topic that this is an issue that's not going to go away. And no matter who gets elected today, it's an issue that's going to continue to rear its head that we have to really think about openly and critically about how we want to approach this. Because I think you appropriately point out is that the marginalized student, again, gets punished even more so by this kind of narrow perspective that many folks have taken. Your thoughts?
Yeah, yeah. And I think, right, a constructive way to sort of, start to move school districts in the right direction is to, make changes just in what you call these things and how you design these things that sort of, you know, get away from the problem of it being so easy to sort of, you know, punish this small set of kids, right? For a long time, you know, these programs have been called gifted education programs, and there is sort of a bad implication when you call these things this, because, you know, everybody therefore who isn't included in it, you're sort of telling parents, well, your kid isn't, you know, a gifted kid. And I have a child, right? If a school told me that my kid, you know, was not that, I wouldn't really enjoy that, right? So
right.
A better approach, right, is to do a few things. One is to call them sort of advanced programs. And then another thing, right, is to sort of have them be sort of more of a continuum of programs, right? So it's not this sort of, you know, we screen you when you're 8, and if you, you know, get into it, you're into it, you know, forever. And if you aren't, you aren't. The better way, right, is to, you know, for some kids, you know, give them supplemental instruction. You know, some kid who's like super far ahead, you know, allow them to skip a grade and screen this sort of on an ongoing basis as kids advance through school. It is sort of very flexible and inclusive way of just trying to give every kid the best education that you can. It avoids telling, you know, the majority of parents in a school that their kid isn't special, which is a terrible, you know, political approach.
And the reality is, kids bloom at different ages, right? I was a late bloomer.
Sure.
And I probably underperformed through grammar school, definitely through most of my high school. It wasn't until maybe junior year that the light bulb went off for whatever reason, you know, and as you point out, if the paths are already set at age 8, that really doesn't work. In my view, and I guess the evidence shows that it doesn't.
Yeah, and I think why these programs were designed that way is really the philosophy behind them was just very flawed, right? It was this idea that, like, a kid who is, you know, gifted has something inherent, like special, that this sort of inherent quality qualifies them for something special that the other kids shouldn't have, sort of regardless of how they achieve, regardless of sort of everything. It was this, you know, sort of strange IQ approach, which, if the point of school is to try to, you know, get every kid the best education you possibly can over the time that they're in it, really just doesn't make any sense to design it that way. So it was this, you know, very, like, generational sort of flawed philosophy behind this that we're trying to change now.
So we went through this mindset where a lot of school board members, educational leaders were kind of thinking contrary to what you point out as being the obvious in the policy brief. Do you think that's changing?
I think it's changing in some places, right? I think, right, sort of when we started to really examine a lot of these systemic issues, you know, around 2020, that, you know, the pendulum swung pretty far in that direction. Understandably, and that's, you know, sort of how things, you know, tend to work. I think it is, you know, swinging back, partly because of, you know, the sort of reframing that I'm talking about. And I want to be clear that this, you know, when I'm saying, you know, call it something else, this isn't just a semantic thing, right? We're right. Talking about in a completely different and better way, a more inclusive way, right? So it's not just some Band-Aid. It's not some, you know, political trick. And I think the more that we talk about this, we are seeing progress. Like, our organization, a couple sort of more traditionally left-leaning ones on things like automatic enrollment. So you have these programs, you know, say in math, where if you get, you know, some score on a state test, that you're automatically enrolled in, say, Algebra 1. Parents can, you know, opt out if they want to, but you're changing this thing away from forcing parents to opt in, forcing teachers to select, and instead, you know, placing more kids into sort of an advanced class than you were before. And this is sort of, you know, on that continuum I talked about, right? And so you're sort of seeing, you know, bipartisan things like that. And our organization sort of facilitated a working group over the last couple years that was very bipartisan, sort of, you know, very diverse in tons of ways. And everybody in it, right, very much supported the approach to these programs that I've described. So this sort of reframing, I think, is increasingly effective. I do think it'll take time, right? Because, like I said, implementing things this way is a more difficult path, and it's not, right, like a sort of easy data fix that just scrapping these programs provides. But yeah, I think there's progress.
Yeah, I mean, it feels as though people are more receptive to it. Once there was pushback to this, that, you know, you're punishing everybody and you're punishing those from marginal income households as well that have achieved a lot of success in that program over the years, and the goal should be for more achievers. Going back to, you know, your algebra example, I wish I could have opted out of algebra forever.
<You know? laughs> Sure.
Yeah, I took it in high school, took it in college, and it didn't make any more sense in college than it did to me in high school for certain. So I never had that problem of being labeled as gifted by any stretch of the imagination. It's going to be interesting to see where this goes. I was really intrigued by your policy brief, and I thought it made some really, really neat and keen observations, and thank you for saying. And Brandon, thank you so much for joining us. Brandon Wright from the Thomas B. Fordham Institute. Have a great week.
Same. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.